and I finished it. But I want to let you know something that, and you know this, but it doesn't hurt to hear it again. Serving God is a matter of the heart. You hear me? Serving God is a matter of the heart. Hallelujah. As a matter of fact, let me go ahead and start from the beginning. I ask you to go to Romans, the 10th chapter. But hear me good. Serving God is a heart thing. Too many people, hear me now. Too many people try to serve God with their head and with their intellect. And it goes even further. Some use education, position in life, and that sort of thing. And none of that stuff impresses God. I'm not saying it's necessarily bad. I'm not saying that at all. Amen. We have to be trained to do certain things. But God is looking at our hearts. It's a heart thing to serve Him. And I want to begin in Romans, the book of Romans, chapter 10. And I use these verses a lot when I lead people to the Lord. And I want to read them, a few of them, to you today. Verse 8, Romans chapter 10, verse 8. It says, but what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth. And where else? And in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. I need to read verse 8 again. But what does it, and I'm reading from the New King James Bible, of course. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe how? And believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Glory, hallelujah. Isn't that good news? I said, isn't that good news? Hallelujah. So we see here that even to be born into the family of God, we've got to confess with our mouth and believe with our heart that God raised him, Jesus, from the dead, and we will be saved. If someone is praying with you to be born again, and they are trying to lead you to the Lord and ask, possibly ask you to repeat after them, but if you decide to do your own thing, say, I don't believe in Jesus, this, that, and this, you're not going to be saved. you're not going to be saved. Because we must confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. Not just intellectual believing, but believing from your heart. What does that mean? That means that I am putting everything into it. My present, my future, throughout all eternity, I am resting on the fact that I believe that God raised him from the dead. I believe that God raised him from the dead. Hallelujah. Just like we read earlier, I believe. God said, I believe. Are you still here? Now let me read on. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. Can I tell you something? I am confident. Listen to me. I am confident that on that day, when I transition from earth to heaven, or is caught away, whatever method that I leave here, I believe when I reach the gate, I'm going to be welcomed in. The Bible tells us even the angels in heaven rejoice when one get saved, when one is born again. They say even the angels in heaven rejoice. Now, I'm kind of thinking this way, folks. If they rejoice when I first get saved, now you have to talk for yourself. Now, I'm just talking for me right now. But if they rejoice when I first get saved, then I know they having a hallelujah party when the gates open up and I walk through. Now, see, you can say the same thing. I don't have a monopoly on this. You can say the same thing. And that's where your faith should be. Why? Because it's in my heart. And I'm confessing it with my mouth. I don't walk around saying, I wonder if I'm right with God. Oh, Lord, I hope I'm right with God. No, I believe what he said. Because anything else is fear and doubt. And the Bible itself tells us that fear itself is tormenting. It's a tormenting thing to not know where you stand with God. I've been there. It's tormenting. When I was a teenager, practically half my body became paralyzed. I wasn't sure I was right with God. And I was begging God, please don't let me die because I'm not sure I'm ready. Please, God. Ran out that little shotgun house we were staying in. It was air conditioned. Yes, it was, in the wintertime. Amen. I believe some other folks in here can relate. We had air conditioning in winter and plenty of heat during the summer. Ran out that little house on Thanksgiving, looked up in the sky and begged God not to let me die because I didn't know what was happening to me. But I knew, and put it this way, I had heard, and I believed it, that there was a heaven, and I heard there was a hell. And I knew which one I didn't want to go to, and I knew which one I wanted to go to. And I begged God not to let me die. And do anybody think, believe he answered my prayer?
Yes.
I'm standing right here.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. What about 55 or so years later?
Yes.
Plus or minus. I'm standing here. Now, they told me later on that Becky doing the Sunday school had what you call it. She did a I don't know. Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. She did a thing. I can't explain it, but anyway. I got saved. Y'all talk to her later. She explained it to you. But I got saved through Billy Graham's ministry. Amen. I got saved through his ministry. And let me tell you something. Now, I want you to listen to me. I was a young teenage fella, home alone, watching TV. Yeah, most of y'all know my story anyway, but watching TV watching Billy Graham on TV rather, and when his service went off, I went in my bedroom, the only bedroom we had, because the whole family slept in one bedroom, because it wasn't four of us, but still, hallelujah, but. Nobody was home but me, and I received Jesus Christ into my heart. I asked him to come in my heart and save me and be Lord of my life. And let me tell you what happened, though. When I prayed that, I believed it because, first of all, he showed me, not showed me, but told me what I needed to do. See, that's the reason sometimes folks get confused. You know, they think there's all these different ways to heaven. There's not. Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. What else did he say? No man comes to the Father but by him, Jesus Christ. Now that's what he said. And I believe it. And it changed my life. As a young teenage young man, it changed my life. I called it, I asked him to come into my heart. I believed it with my heart, not just my head. I believed it with my heart. And anytime I had challenges, and I had challenges years after that, where the devil would try to send doubt and unbelief. But let me, can I help you all with something? I believe somebody needs this today. He can mess with your head. But he can't touch your heart. Even while he was trying to mess my head up, I knew in my heart I was a child of God. Y'all hear me? I knew because the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that was inside of me was bearing witness with my spirit that I was a child of God. And I knew. I couldn't explain it, but I just knew it. I couldn't explain it, but I just knew it. It was a heart thing. That's what I'm getting at. It was a heart thing. And you know, there were attacks on my mind and all like that. And sometimes being around the wrong people, you have to understand I had to learn too. I had to grow. But right in here, I know I was right with him. I knew, I was confident that when I fell on my knees and asked him to come into my life, asked him to forgive me of my sins, I was confident that he did that. It might have been a little confusion up here, but there was peace in here. Anybody know what I'm talking about? There was peace in here. So the word of God in Romans chapter 10 said, if we confess with our mouth and believe with our hearts. I'm so glad I did not depend on my head. Let me ask you a question, Pat. You got papers on this man? You kind of asking kind of slow. Y'all better have. Yeah, you got. So you know you married to this man, and not only it's not just on, but you the paper tells you you're married. Yeah. And it's in your heart, ain't it? So then that, it doesn't matter what anybody else tell you. Somebody can come and prophesy to you and tell you y'all ain't really married. Are you going to receive that?
No. No, sir.
Why? Because you got papers stating it and it's in your heart. It's in your heart. Amen. Y'all got papers on each other. That's the way that works. Hallelujah. Call a marriage license. Glory to God. Amen. Y'all still with me? Thank you, Jesus. So understand, it's a heart thing. Now, I want you to turn with me. I didn't take my watch off. I'll be finished by supper time. Mark, the 12th chapter. And I'm probably not going to get there this morning, but I want this to lead us into something else when I'm ministering to you as soon as I get there. Hallelujah. Now, in Mark, make sure I'm here. All right, Mark chapter 12. And this is very familiar. These verses are very familiar, but I want to make a point here. Now, beginning at verse 28, it says, then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? He was asking Jesus this. Jesus answered him, the first of all commandments is, now you hear that? The first of all commandments, all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord, your God, with all your what? With all your heart. It's a heart thing, folks. This walk that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ is a heart walk. It's a heart relationship. with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And then he goes on and says, the second like it is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. You see that? And the second is like it. And the second one like it is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. It's a heart thing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right, just stay here with me a minute. Now, if you're taking notes, and I hope you are, I haven't given you a title, so you can put choices again if you want to. Now, notice something here. Now, I got to tell you where to go first. 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. I'm out of away from my notes right now. 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. Begin at verse 1. It says, "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be shaken in mind or troubled either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had already come." Now, some had written a letter stating that, you know, forget it, folks. Jesus came already. You got left, so don't worry about it. So he was straightening some things out. "Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come." And this is what I'm getting at right here, verse 3. "For that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition." Now let me tie all this together for you. Our relationship with God is a hard thing. Jesus said that we are to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength. We are to love him. Oh, by the way, that commandment has not changed. It's still in force today. But we see in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, that the Word of God says that some is going to fall away. Some's going to fall away. I believe there's going to be a move of God. You hear me? Yes, I do. I believe that there's going to be a mighty move of God. But that move of God is going to be on those who are willing to receive it. Hear me good. But to fall away from something means you had to have once been there. It's called apostasia, Greek. And God's just been speaking to me to minister along this line, because some folks are too close to the line. Some of God's people are walking too close to the line. Everybody say choices. Remember what Joshua said? We read it. He told the folks, you choose who you're going to serve. But as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. Amen. And that was a, listen to me, that was a statement spoken from his heart. He meant it. Glory to God. Lord, help me give them this the way you want it. You know, my ministry that God's given me, sometime I bring a shouting message, but sometime I bring a message where you just need to sit there and listen and receive it. Because you don't want to be on dangerous ground where you wake up and all of a sudden you're not serving the Lord anymore at all. Do you know that if you play with fire long enough, you're going to get burned? Do you know if you play around a slippery creek bank long enough, you're going to slip and fall in? And my job as a preacher and a pastor is to caution you. And some people think, who are you talking about? I don't know. But that's not important. That's not important. I don't know what the Holy Spirit knows. I don't know who's watching this. Lord knows I have enough responsibility in my own life to be worrying about what you're doing. I'm only the messenger, I'm not God. But some are playing too close to the line. And you want to be careful that you don't fall over. Because the devil is an expert at what he does. He deceived a woman in a perfect condition. Everything was perfect in Eden. Yet, through deception, and of course disobedience by Adam, they lost it all. They lost it all. So make a solid decision that I am going to walk with the Lord, and whatever sacrifice I have to make, I'll do what I have to do, because what he has given me is too precious, too valuable to give it to the swine. Jesus warned us, don't cast your pearls before swine, because they still gonna bite you. They still gonna attack you. I hope y'all are getting something out of this. I'm just ministering what's on my heart right now. But too many of God's people have cooled off. And some have actually walked away. And they're going after the things of the world. Going after the things of the world. Turn in your Bible to 2 Timothy. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Listen at what the Apostle Paul said as he was writing to Timothy. He says, Demas has forsaken, this is verse 10, Demas has forsaken me, having what? Are you still there? I'm sorry. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I apologize for that. All right, you have it? We read it again. For Demas has forsaken me, having loved what? This present world, and has departed for Thessalonica. And I'll stop right there. He left Paul and went after the world. I want to read this same verse to you from the Amplified Bible, but not the Amplified Classic. This is a later version of the Amplified Bible, verse 10. It says, for Demas, having loved the pleasures of this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. And some other folks left too. The world is pulling after the believer. We had our men's meeting yesterday morning. We had a blessed meeting. And we were talking about the Word of God and walking in the Word of God and so forth. We talked about a bunch of stuff. It was a blessing. But when I was ministering to the guys, one of the things I told them, and this applies to all of us, love the Word of God. You love the Word of God. You go after the things of God. But also seek wisdom. Seek wisdom. Because, yes, Satan is going about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, which means cannot devour everyone, only the weak ones, only the ones that don't know. Ask God for wisdom. Ask God. Are y'all getting anything out of this? Ask God for wisdom. James said, if any lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not. He don't mind. Ask God for wisdom. If you're going to, you can know the word but still not have the wisdom you need to apply that word. Hallelujah. I'm getting ready to close, but I want to say this. There's going to be a move of God, and I'm determined to be a part of it. a part of what God is doing. But there's also going to be great temptations. Temptations. Some things going to look good, smell good, sound good. And some may say to you, thus saith the Lord, do this, do that, do the other. But you need to have enough wisdom to know when to move and when not to move. I believe it was Stephen. Y'all help me out if I'm wrong. I think it was Stephen that was chosen. One of the ones that was chosen to be a deacon in the early church. Says he was full of the Holy Ghost. And what else? Wisdom. Full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. And because that man was full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, when they martyred him, hear me now, when they martyred him, when they killed him, the Bible says, somebody tell me now, where is Jesus? Amen. What'd you say, sis? Yes, but you said something else. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. And that's what the Bible says. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. But when they martyred Stephen, because he was a man full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, Jesus stood up. Glory to God. Glory to God. Brothers and sisters, stay with the Word of God. Ask God for wisdom. The Apostle Paul, praying for the church, always prayed that God would give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. Too many times we have knowledge but no wisdom. I should say very little wisdom. I say it that way. Knowledge, but very little wisdom. There are folks that know the word. They can probably quote you the Bible from cover to cover, but have very little wisdom. Right. Hallelujah. None of us have to fall. And remember this, musicians, come on, I'm getting ready to quit. I know I kind of went off script this morning, but that's okay. I don't apologize for anything. But be ready for whatever come your way. Amen. Some believers, though, take the things of God too lightly. Let me finish up by saying it this way. Some folk don't take the Word of God serious. They don't take the things of God serious, okay? But can I let you in on something? I think the musician's about ready. But can I let you in on something? We don't take... Sometimes, I'm not lumping everybody in this. I'm talking about some do not take the things of God serious. But you know who do? The devil. He takes the things of God serious. Matter of fact, the Bible says even the devils believe and tremble. They tremble. They know what their future is. They know that God's winning this thing. They know that they know what your potential is. That's the reason the enemy will try to trip us up. Anybody following me today?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I don't want to get over your head, and I don't want to get underneath you either. I want you to get what I'm saying. Amen. And if you missed anything, I pray that the Spirit of God will reveal that to you. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Hallelujah. May we be able to discern the times and understand what's going on and what the enemy is up to and the ways that he would try to trip us up. Thank you for that.